Good evening. It's good to see everybody here. And I even see we have a few guests. Welcome. We always welcome guests. We're always happy to have you when you're passing through. And we're just thankful everybody's here tonight. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. How many of you have gotten Christmas cards? And on the very front, it said, peace on earth. How many of you had Christmas cards like that? And how many of you have sent Christmas cards like that? I'm sure many of you have done that as well. If history was anything, it is a chronicle of the unrest, bloodshed, and war of mankind. Worldwide hostility and human hate. You want to read about it? Wait till tomorrow morning when the newspaper comes or when you turn the television on. Daily we are bombarded with hostility and hate for mankind. Peace on earth? Kind of ironic, isn't it? Not many months ago, not many months after the birth of Christ, and it might have been up to 2 years, we don't know exactly. Does anybody know what happened? After peace on earth was born? Herod. He got a haircut. In not in all the world, but in Bethlehem, in that area. 2 year-olds and under. Peace on earth? Of the males, yeah. Where is this peace that the Prince of Peace was going to bring? Kind of contradictory, doesn't it? Don't you think so? How can Christians claim that peace has come when so plainly, when we look at the news, it hasn't? Well, perhaps all those Christmas cards we've received and sent are misleading. Let's read Luke. Let's look more closely at what the angels told the shepherd. And I'm going to be reading this out of the New International Version. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. You notice the difference between the Bible and many Christmas cards? Did you hear the difference? And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. The older translations, this is the King James, goodwill toward men. But I think the NIV has it right. In any case, the angels gave their message, then they returned to heaven, leaving earth to unravel this mystery of peace, this message that they had brought. And they left earth to go on spinning through space and in time and its unchanging unrest, except for those who find God's favor. These find peace even here on earth. But is that all there is to this peace? Private, individual, for the favored? An unknown war ended in peace. We might not want to label it war, but the unsettled feeling of unrest, we understand, don't we? Maybe we're in conflict with a former friend, and we don't even remember what started it or who fired the first shot. And how many feuds have gone on for generations? And when you ask them what happened, it's always great-great-grandpappy said, well, what really caused such a feud to begin? Who fired the first shot? Often it's forgotten. Or there is friction between us and our parents, or us and a brother, or us and a co-worker. But we can't quite pin down this feeling of unrest. Somehow we found a distance growing between us, a wedge driven between us, a separation. Something has gone wrong. And often we forget what. Or maybe we never cared to find out. God had something against us too. Most people don't even realize that God has something against them, against mankind. The wedge was driven in. The distance has grown. The gap cannot be closed by humankind. Still, we don't quite focus on the conflict between us and God. Perhaps we had a vague sense that all was right in the universe. But would we ever take the necessary steps to bring peace? Could we? Then one day, God sent an infant. An infant is a gift for the world. He set down this infant in the middle of a huge conflict between warring parties, between man and man, and between man and God. Peace on earth. Through faith, we read that in Romans, through faith we find favor. And the battle between us and God has come to an end. In peace. In friendship. And so, as Paul said, we have become friends of God. Let's just read a few verses that were already read. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us into the blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. What happened to that infant? But God shows His great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. To be a sinner means what? To be in rebellion against God. We were in open rebellion. We may not understand that or understood it, but we were in rebellion. And God sent His Son at that time to die upon the cross. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger because we have I got it completely written wrong here, so I can't even finish that verse at the moment. I don't know how I did that. Because the machine supposed to copy it automatically and put it in my text. It must be wrong in the computer program. Because I got one of those Bible programs. But the point is, Christ died for us to bring peace between us and God. And then verse 11 he says, and not only that, but now we are also very happy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we are now God's friends again. Could that be the peace or part of the peace that was to come? But yet the question persists. Is that all there is to peace? Private, individual, or the favored? Even if this were all, it'd be a lot, wouldn't it, to be at peace with our God? After all, there's no greater conflict than that between man and God, to be at war with God. So it's wonderful to have peace. Yet there is more. The churning feeling of inner turmoil is stilled. We know what it is to be at war with someone, don't we? And to be at war with ourselves. With our feelings. With the circumstances around us that somehow manage to crowd into us. Think about The last time you felt guilt, it could have been this afternoon. Could have been this morning. Could have been yesterday. But think about the last time you felt a deep guilt at something you said or did. We know what it is to be at war, don't we? Or remember that knot in the stomach. As you waited to see if something would turn out the way you had hoped, or the way you feared it would turn out. Can you feel the nervousness you experienced? Remember back to school time? The time before a test, Ruth? He doesn't remember. Or the time you gave a test. Maybe how the students came in nervous. Or what about the inner turmoil and the feeling when you came in contact with new people or a new work? Will the people at the new school like me? Will they like me at work? Do I have enough money to go to college? Do I have enough money to buy food next week for my family? And yet something has happened. The angel said he would bring peace on earth for the favored of God. As certainly as we can feel worries, God has promised we can feel the calm. Once Jesus was out on a boat with his apostles in the middle of a storm. What was Jesus doing? Sleeping. You would think, how can anybody sleep in the middle of a storm? There's so much to worry about. The apostles weren't sleeping, were they? Listen to this. This is Paul. And if anybody knew what it was to feel fear and have something to worry about, it was probably Paul. But listen to this. The man who was in prison, the man who was in shipwrecks, the man who went hungry, the man who, the Bible says he fought wild animals, doesn't it? Let's listen to what this man has to say. This is Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Philippians 4. Do not worry about anything. If a wild lion came at me, I'd worry probably. If I knew that I was going to lose my job today, I would think I would worry. If I knew I was going to jail and was innocent, I'd worry. Paul understood these feelings, didn't he? But let's keep on reading. Do not worry about anything. What can we worry about, Charlie? Nothing. But pray and ask God for everything you need. There's that word again, everything you need. Did he say everything you want? He said everything you need. Always giving thanks. Why? Because he's going to give it to us, isn't he? And God, here's the part. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace in the storm. Peace when things don't look so rosy. Peace in Christ Jesus. If you're here on Sunday mornings, you know that Paul, Zona, how many times did Paul use this? Over 200 times. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do. And here it is again. And the God who gives peace will watch you from afar. No. Will be with you. There's a song on the radio, and I was bringing Marianne home from work the other day. And I don't know who sang the song. It was on Magic 107.7. And it said, singing about God. And it said he was watching from a distance. Does God watch us from a distance? Huh, the Bible says he's near. Always near. And the God who gives peace will be with you. Christians can have this sentiment and can give it meaning, deep meaning, in the middle of any circumstance. God can give us peace. And if we can have peace, don't we want to share this peace with those who don't have it? And so having opened the secrets of our private, individual peace, we reach out to others who are in conflict and turmoil, because what do we know? They need this peace. And now it's not so individual and private, isn't it? Also, the walls that have divided people have been broken down. The walls of prejudice, the walls of race, the walls of hate have been torn down. And with the falling of this wall comes a prospect of peace between men. It's possible in Jesus Christ. We don't have to hide behind the silly barriers of class, of clique, or of race. That is, in fact, these things are terribly wrong, aren't they? Because they are part of the wall that has kept mankind from having peace. It is at odds with God's plan for His creation. But yet, if you look in the history of the so-called Christian church, often Christians in the name of God have done what? Persecuted mankind and driven a wedge between the people of God and the world. Is that what God wanted? Or did He want us to reach out in peace to these very people? Yet, when God started something in this world, peace on earth, He didn't keep it private and individual. He expressed His peace toward us in part by peacefully bringing us together in His church. Now, I'm not sure on my history, but there was a time when our black brethren were not allowed to worship with us because of race. There is, in India today, a problem because even though it's illegal in India, there are classes of people. And the most receptive of all is that lowest class, and I can't think what it's called right now, the untouchables. And there was a problem at first between the untouchables, the Christians who were untouchable, and Christians who came from the higher classes. Because this was their culture that had been drilled into them. But Christianity breaks down these barriers through the cross of Jesus Christ. He expressed His peace toward us by peacefully grouping us together. In the first century church, a problem arose because it looked like the Hebrew widows were being taken care of while the Greek widows were not. What did the apostles do? Yeah. They did what they could to resolve the problem that was building a wall, a wedge within the church. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 2. I'm going to read 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. Christ Himself is our peace. He made both Jewish people, who's left over? Those who are not Jews. One people. They were separated as if there were a wall between them, but Christ broke down that wall of hate by giving His own body. It was also Christ's purpose to end the hatred between the two groups, to make them into one body, and to bring them back to God. Christ did all this with His death on the cross. Christ came and preached peace to you who were far away from God, and to those who were near to God. Yes, it is through Christ we all have the right to come to the Father in one spirit. You could think of it this way. The wooden cross on which Jesus was executed was constructed out of the barrier that once divided us. When you are tempted to rebuild the wall between yourself and others as Christians, what material are you using to build the wall? The cross of Christ. Meaning, we cannot rebuild the wall. Or we take the cross of Christ for granted. To claim private, individual peace with God, to enjoy the inner calm that knowing God can bring, and then to go on fighting with others is unthinkable in Christianity. To say you know God, then toy with bigotry and racism is in the eyes of God intolerable. Amen. To be a Christian, then to be hateful toward another person, or to make fun of another person, or to exclude someone, is inconsistent with what Christ died for. On the contrary, to be Christian means to work at resolving conflict between people. Knowing God teaches us to resist hatred, bigotry, racism, and division. Enjoying peace with God motivates us to a point that we want to bring this calmness to others. Matthew 5, verse 9, in the New Century Version. Those who work to bring peace are happy because God will call them His children. What is one of the main activities of God's children? To work for peace. Is peacemaker a label we care to wear? Well, if peace has come to us, we have no choice. Peace is on God's agenda. Until the day that Jesus steps once again into our history in a direct way, second coming of Christ, until that day, we are representatives of God passing on the news that is truly good. Peace is possible. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace between people. In Isaiah 32:17, in talking about the kingdom that will come, verse 17 says this, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. God through Jesus makes us righteous. That means he makes us right with God. Because we have been made right with God, we have been given the gift of peace. This gives us a quietness and confidence in storms that we meet in life. But it also puts upon us the need to pass this peace on to others. We talked a little bit about this morning. When we have the passion of Christ within us, we want that all people will have the peace that we have. This happens because God has poured out His Spirit on His people. In Galatians 5:22, just the first part, but the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace. When the Spirit of God is within us, peace is within our reach. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit is in us, and if we are cooperating with the Spirit of God, this fruit will grow within us. And when it grows, it's ready to be harvested and passed on to those who need it. Let us pray together. Father, influence us. Give us the peace that passes understanding. Give us a quiet confidence that flows from living right with God. We're thankful that the Lord Jesus brought peace to us who have faith in Him. Help us to learn to give and share this peace with others. Amen. Would you like to find love, joy, and peace? And there are more fruit of the Spirit. You've got to keep coming Sunday night to learn what the others are. But these flow from being right with God and having His Spirit within you. If you need the Spirit within you, there's only one way. That's through baptism. The Bible teaches that is a gift of God. When in faith we come to Him and are baptized. Do you need joy and peace and love in you today? Then come this evening as we stand and as we sing.